Okay, so we're on Daf Yud Gimel today. I'll begin from the Mishnah, 4 lines from the top on Yud Gimel Mralat. So the Mishnah says, "Kilmer mukareitzani." So this is a case where the husband discovers that she's not a betula. She says, "Mukareitzani, I was injured, from from wood, but it means any injury that occurred." He says, "Isha." He says, "No, I think you had fooled around." And Rashi says, but the point being, he's saying, I have a mekatav, so I didn't get what I bargained for. So Rabbi Gamaliel and Rabbi Elazar omrim them in it. Rabbi Gamaliel and Rabbi Elazar say she's believed to say that she's the mukat eitz, and we'll see exactly what her time is, how much money she's claiming. Rabbi Yeshua says, we're in the Mishnah around 8 lines from the top on Yud Gimel Aleph. Rabbi Yeshua says, we're not going to rely on what she says. In other words, let's summarize this in a minute. So it means that according to it's the same idea we saw yesterday. Bari b'shem bari adit. We said that if one person makes a claim with bari, one person makes a claim with certainty because they have superior knowledge. So then we believe the person who is bari. So here she makes a tanis bari. She says she's a mukareis and she would know best how she lost the betulin. And he says, no, I think that you're a drusarish. The Arisa said deflowered by a man, but you get the idea that she fooled around with somebody after the Erusin. So now we'll see how this impacts. Either way, it's going to be less money for her on the ksuba level. And then Rabbi Yeshua says that we're going to look at, remember we said this yesterday, ukimon becheskat mare. We're going to leave the money where, in other words, the money is in the possession of the Baal. He's got the money. So I could look at it, Hamotzi Mechavero Lavarai. He's Muchsak. He's in possession of the money. So we should say, according to Rabbi Yeshua, Hamotzi Mechavero Lavarai. She has to prove her case. In other words, so the default is he wins. And the other way is the default is she wins. Did everybody understand or not? Say again, what? Yeah. And he says that you're a Drusat Ish, that you fooled around before the Erusin. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, before the Erusin, right? Before the Erusin. All right. So everybody good? All right, let's see back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, what are the claims of the parties, money-wise? How much is each party claiming? So Rabbi Yochanan Amar B'mai Taimon. Rabbi Yochanan says, she's claiming 200 zuz. She says she's a mukareitz, but she's claiming, I know Michael did this daf on Sunday, had it about the Mishnah with mukareitz. So we'll see what the Gemara is going to go over a little bit. So Rabbi Yochanan says she's claiming that she's not, notwithstanding the fact that she's a mukareitz, she's entitled to 200 zuz. And he, according to Rabbi Yochanan, is saying that, no, you're a drusat ish, but you're only entitled to 100 mana. So she says, you owe me 200. He says, no, I only owe you 100. And that's the point of dispute between them. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Rabbi Elazar says, the mana below klum. The point of dispute is that she claims a mana because she's a drusat ish. She only claims a mana with 100 zuz. And he says, I don't owe you anything because you're a drusat ish. So now the Gemara explains the machloket a little bit, okay? So Rabbi Yochanan Omer, about time of mana, Yochanan says the machloket is 200 versus 100 zuz. He says, "Saber lach premeir, damar ben hikirba ben lo hikirba my time." So means Rabbi Yochanan. Now Rashi points out Rabbi Yochanan doesn't agree per se with Remeir. Remeir is Shita Ziyaki. The Chum disagree with Remeir. You had this Mishnah on Daf Yud Aleph, which Michael did on Sunday. But Rabbi Yochanan holds the Tan of our Mishnah holds like the Tan of Remeir. Remeir holds that if she has a taina of mukareitz, whether he knew about it before the chasen or didn't know about it, she's still entitled to 200 zuz, according to the Tan Rav Meir. He says, Rav Elazar Omer, b'mana v'lo klum, Rav Elazar says it's one holds 100 zuz, one holds zero. Sabar lech rabbanan da'amri bein hikir ba, bein lo hikir ba, mana. So the chamu hold that a mukareitz is only entitled to 100 mana. Okay, so again, let's just repeat for everybody who walked in. So we have a case where a man discovers on the wedding night that his wife's a bu'ula. So she says, I can explain it. I was a mukareitz. So, an injury occurred to me and I lost my betulim that way. And he says, no, I think you were a drusarish. I think that you had relations with somebody before the erusin. and this was the Mechach Taos. So what exactly are the tainas of the parties? So the Gemara says there's two possibilities. So Rabbi Yochanan says the tainas are 200 and 100. Rabbi Yochanan says the tana of our Mishnah agrees with Rameir. Rameir holds that a mukareit, notwithstanding that she doesn't have betulim, is entitled to 200 zuz. So she claims, I know you want me out of here, but I want my 200 zuz. Even though I'm a mukareit, I'm still not a betulim, you're right, but I'm still entitled to 200 zuz, because the tana of the Mishnah holds like Rameir. And he says, no, you're a drus harish, you had relations with somebody for the erusin, so I only owe you 100 zuz. I only owe you 100 zuz. That's the first way, Rabbi Yochanan. And then Rabbi Lazar says, no. Rabbi Lazar says that he thinks the mission is going according to the Chachamim. Chachamim hold that a mukareis is only entitled to 100 zuz. So if she's claiming 100 zuz, he obviously must be claiming less. So he claims that since you're a drus harish, she gets zero. So we really have two machlokot on both sides of the equation. One is, what is a mukat eitz entitled to? So that's a machloka tanaim we had previously in the Mishnah, whether it's 200 zuz or 100 zuz. Rameir says 200 zuz, coming hold 100 zuz. And the other machloka is, if a man claims that she's a ba'ula, and the original deal was she's supposed to be betula, what, if anything, is she entitled to? So according to Rabbi Yochanan, she's entitled to 100 zuz. And according to Rabbi Lazar, she's entitled to zero. All right? Everybody good? Any questions so far? All right, let me go on. Okay, so let's see back here. So I'm around 10 lines down on the Gemara, on Yud Gimel Malal, 13a. So the Gemara says, "Vishnim Rabbi Lazar lo ka'amar k'Rabbi Yochanan, k'muki lo k'Rabbanan." So I understand why Rabbi Lazar is an Amora. So it means it's Rabbi Lazar ben Pedat. So I understand why Rabbi Lazar ben Pedat doesn't say like Rabbi Yochanan, because he'd prefer to say our Mishnah goes like the Chachamim. The Chachamim hold the Mukareith is only entitled to 100 zuts. I'd rather explain it that way. Hele Rabbi Yochanan, my time on the mark Rabbi Lazar. Why is Rabbi Yochanan going out of his way to say the Mishnah goes like Rabbi Meir? Makes a lot more sense. The Mishnah goes like the Chachamim. So why is he bending over that way? So the Gemara says the reason he doesn't say it goes like Rabbi Lazar to Sabar, because he, Rabbi Yochanan, holds, if a man, you know, marries a woman under the, you know, understanding that she's a betula, and she says betula, so she still has a ksuba mana. So if the fallback position, in other words, the defendant's position is he owes a mana, so if he would do like the way that, in other words, since Rabbi Yochanan holds that way, Rabbi Yochanan holds, if he says he thought she was a betula, but she's a ba'ula, he nevertheless owes her 100 zuz, which is what a ba'ula would normally get, 100 zuz. So if that's the case, so what is he going to say is the plaintiff's claim? In other words, if he goes with Reb Lazar, then the plaintiff's claim is, I'm entitled to 100 zuz. And then the husband says, you're entitled to 100 zuz. So there's no machloke. So once Rabbi Yochanan holds that a ba'ula is entitled to 100 zuz, so the claim has got to be more than 100 zuz. So the only claim more than 100 zuz would be 200 zuz, and that would be like Rameir. So hacha, hu kamarmana, vhi kamarmana, ma'ikimei tana jidil tana jidah. So if she's claiming 100 zuz, which is what the way Rabbi Lazar would say, according to the Chachamim, if she's a mukareit, she's entitled to 100 zuz. And then he says, well, you're b'ula, you're only entitled to 100 zuz, which is the way Rabbi Yochanan holds. So then it doesn't work out. So he's forced to say that our Mishnah must be like Rameir. The claim is 200 zuz, and he says 100 zuz. All right. Everybody good so far? All right, let me go on a little bit to the next Mishnah, then we'll summarize, then we'll go back, okay? So the Gemara says, Mishnayim of the Reb Lazar, height of the tiny party. So now, according to Reb Lazar, who says that our Mishnah goes like the Chachamim, and that a Mukareis is entitled to 100 zuz, and he says that you were just a bula, plain bula, so you take zero. So he says, so I understand why I have two sections of the Mishnah, meaning the Mishnah we did yesterday was that he finds her that she's a bula, and he says, Mishe Rastani, and she says, Mishe Rastani, Nenasti, I was raped after the Erusin. So he says, and that's just your bad mazel. And he says, no, I think that before the Erusin, you lost your betulim, and it's a mekach taos. So in essence, we have two Mishnayot. Now in both Mishnayot, Rabbi Gamliel says we believe her, because Bari B'Shem and Bari Aviv. If one makes a certain claim, the other non-certain claim, we believe the Bari. And in each instance, that's Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Lezer say she's Ne'emanet. And in each instance, Rabbi Yeshua says, we're going to view the money, you know, Ukimamoda b'cheskatei. You know, we'll leave the money in its existing chazaka, the possession of the husband, and she's in a position of a motzimich ever lavraya. So why is it necessary for the Tana to teach me both sections? So the Gemara says, b'shleimut Rabbi Lazar. So according to the Tana, according to Rabbi Lazar rather than Navara, Tana Tani Tarti, I understand why I need two. Chada l'puki midrami barchama, v'chada l'puki midrav chia baravin. Amar b'sheshet. That one Mishnah, the second Mishnah, the one we just did, is to show the halacha is not like Rami Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama says that if it's lo hikirba, if he didn't know about it, then she gets zero, according to Rami Bar Chama. So our Mishnah, he clearly doesn't know about it, but the he says you get nothing by a mukareitz. If he didn't know about it, you get nothing according to Rabbi Bar Chama. Here, her claim is that she's a mukareitz, and she's not getting nothing. She's claiming a hundred zuz. So that's the way he's touching up the Mishnah out. The Tana wrote one Mishnah to show that the position that was taken by Rabbi Bar Chama is not feasible. He says, and then the other Mishnah. And the first Mishnah was put in, show the halacha is not like Rav Chiya Baravin in the name of Rav Sheshet. Rav Chiya Baravin says in the name of Rav Sheshet that Kinsa Becheska Betula, but I'm say Be'ula, she gets a Ksuba Mana. So he wants to say here that he, like in the Mishnah, he says that my mekach was a mekach taus, the implication is zero with that, zero. So where Blaz has a way to explain both Mishnayot. He says, El Rabbi Yochanan, Tarti Lamali, but according to Rabbi Yochanan, why don't we both Mishnayot? So the Gemara says, Charalo diachat kocho to Rabbi Gamliel. So one Mishnah is to teach me, like, sort of like the extreme position of Rabbi Gamliel. So, Rabbi Gamliel's extreme position, one second.
She's in the middle.
One second. Right. He says, So one Mishnah is to teach me the extreme position of Rabbi Gamliel, that she's ne'emanet. She's ne'emanet, and that would even be, I assume he means in the case. In the other words, that she's not ne'emanet. The Gemara explains. The first Mishnah shows me the strength of Rabbi Yeshua that she's not ne'emanet, meaning the avakav diklamimar migo lo mehemna. In other words, we spoke about this yesterday, that in addition to the husband's argument of Bari B'Shema, Bari B'Shem and Bari Adif. So she has a Tanis Bari, but in addition to which, she has a Tanis Migo, because if she was going to lie, she could have said, I was a Mukareitz, and then she wouldn't be prohibited on a Kohen. And instead she says, no, I was raped. So now she's prohibited on marrying Kohen forever, but that's in addition to the Tanis Bari. So he says, so Rabbi Yeshua, notwithstanding the fact that she's got a Tanis Bari and she has the Migo. Nevertheless, Rabbi Yeshua says that the Ukim Amoda Becheskate. And this is Batraita, the second mission, the one we just did, Lodiyacha Koko to Rabbi Gamliel, tell me like the strength of Rabbi Gamliel, the Afaga of like the Migo, even at the Migo, she's Ne'emanet. Okay, let me just summarize a little bit and then we'll take some questions. Just kind of check one thing for one second and then we'll move on. One second.
Rabban Gamliel is terrific.
All right, one second. Right. So in the Mishnah, everything is taking place before the Erusin. She says, I was a Mukhar Eitz before the Erusin. And he says that you were deflowered before the Erusin. Okay, so let me just summarize again what we did, and then we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts. Let me take both Mishnayot together. So in each Mishnah, there's a falling out here where he finds out that she's not a betula as had been warranted or represented. So in the first Mishnah, she says, "You're right, I'm not a betula, but I was going to mention to you, but I got raped after the Erusin." Small detail. He says, "But that's your poor mazel, and that's just, you know, you got to, you know, pick up the chips. But I'm still entitled, and she's not Asra on the husband if he's not a Kohen, but I'm entitled to my 200 zuz." And he says, "No, I think that after the Erusin, before the Erusin, you fooled around with somebody, and I had a Mechav Taus, and I'm not paying you 200 zuz. I'm not paying you 200 zuz." Now, so Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Lezer say, we believe her. So in that case, we believe her because she has a Tana Tvari. She knows with 100% certainty what occurred. He doesn't know for sure what happened. He says, "I think this happened," but he doesn't have any evidence to that. So Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Lezer say, we believe her. In addition to which, she also has the Tanis Migo, that if she was going to lie, she could have a better lie and say she was a Mukhareitz, and then she wouldn't be prohibited on a coin. Instead, she says, I was raped. So those things are in her corner. And then on the other hand, though, Rabbi Yeshua holds that we're going to go with him, that she has the burden of proof, because we're going to leave the mamon in the becheskat mare. The money is in the possession of the husband. She wants the money. You want the money from the husband. That's the first Mishnah. Then the Mishnah we just did a few moments ago was a similar idea, that he says, "You're right, I'm not a betula, but I was a mukareitz, but a mukareitz before the erusin." And he says, "I don't think you were mukareitz. I think you were drus harish. You had a relationship with a man." And so here again, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Lezer say that she's believed because she's making a Tanis Bari. And Rabbi Yeshua says he's believed because Ukimamona Bechaskate, we're going to leave the money in his possession, and then Havotsimichabarabaraya. All right, now, then we got into a discussion, what are the tainas of the parties in the Mishnah? So there was Machlok between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Yochanan says she's claiming she's entitled to 200 zuz, you know, as if she would be a betula, because Rabbi Yochanan holds that this Mishnah was like Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Meir holds a Mukareitz is entitled, with Ben Hikirbah and Ben Lohikirbah, whether he knew about it or not knew about it, he's entitled to 200 zuz. And then his claim that you were Drus Harish, the way that Rabbi Yochanan understands it, that she's entitled to 100 zuz. And Rabbi Lazar says, no, the Pshat in the Mishnah is like the Chachamim. The Chachamim hold that as a Mukareitz, you're only entitled to 100. So obviously his taina is less. He says that nothing, you get zero. All right, so we went through that, and then we said, why do we need both Mishnah? And we went through that, but I think that's the basic idea. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far?
So it boils down to burden of proof.
Yeah, okay. All right, any other questions, comments, thoughts? All right, I'm going to move on. Okay, so on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, we're at the next Mishnah. Everybody with me? Okay, so Manitin. Means people saw her speaking with someone. Means she's an unmarried woman. Now speaking, the Gemara is going to explain, speaking doesn't mean speaking. Speaking means either she was miyached, alone with somebody, or according to a different pshat, that she had relations with somebody. So ru'a medaberet machad, v'amru'lo, they said to her, matibo shel izeh, what's his status? Meaning, they want to know whether she's possible to marry a Kohen. Did you marry somebody that would possible you from marrying Cohen? He says, so she says, no problem. Ish Cohen, even Cohen who? He's an Ish Cohen. He was X and he's a Cohen. And Cohen doesn't necessarily mean Cohen. He was Miuchas, nothing to worry about it. I didn't have relations with a Mamzer. I didn't have relations with a Goy. He was a Kasher Yid. He says, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Lezer, Omrim Nemenet. Rabbi Gamliel, and so that she then could still marry a Cohen. She could still marry a Cohen. She's not a Betula, but you don't need to be a betula to marry a Kohen, only for a Kohen Gadol. So Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Lezer Omen Nemenet. Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Lezer say that she's believed. So here, we're moving away from the idea of Bari B'Shema. Here, it's more that they're emphasizing her previous Cheskes Kashrus. She has a Cheskes Kashrus, that she's a from woman, you know, as far as we know, And therefore, we're going to hold her, you know, by the previous status. And it was, as far as we knew, she has a cheskes kashrus. She was entitled to marry a kohen. There's nothing that's upsetting the card. He says, Rabbi Yeshua Meir, Lomi Piyu Anachayin. Rabbi Yeshua says, we don't rely on what she says. Reizu b'cheskes be'ula natin l'mamzer, that she's presumptively, that she had relations with a natin or a mamzer. And again, we're not talking about the offspring here. We're just looking about her status. And not into the Givonim, who are Psuli Kahal, and Mamzer is also Psuli Kahal. She brought the Varan. So she brings evidence that the person she had relations with was a Miuchas person. So here, the Risfar is that she had a Ches Kashrus, but the Ches Kashrus was impaired because she was alone with this guy. Or if she had relations with him, also would impair it. But we'll see. Now, the next case in the Mishnah is Haitamu Beret. This is an unmarried woman who's pregnant. So they said, what's the status of the offspring that you're carrying? She says, no problem, Ish Poloni Bekoinhu. I only, you know, have relations with the most miuchas people. He says, Rabbi Gamliel Rablezer Omrim Nemeret. Rabbi Gamliel Rablezer say that again, she's believed. Beshua Omer Lomi Pia Anu Chayim. We don't rely on her. So again, so Rabbi Gamliel Rablezer say she's believed in both cases, and we'll talk about the second case, I think, a little bit more in the Gemara, and what the second case is adding on more than the first case. We have to also, it's going to come out, the second case, the key is the offspring is going to be the issue in the second case, and Rabbi Yeshua says, no, we're not going to. So the idea is here that Rabbi Gamliel and Rablezer are machshiv her Cheskes Kashrus, and Rabbi Shua says it's impaired. Okay, who's got questions, comments, and thoughts on anything we did
I
before?
Do. What's up? So she was Mizana, assuming that we take the more extreme definition of speaking with a miuchas person, and she can still marry a kohen. Yet as a grusha, she could not.
Right.
Isn't that counterintuitive? That if she's Mizana with anybody, that she
you're using the word mizana. The word, that word mizana, is, you know, it's a term of art. It has a legal implication. Mizana
just
means that she's married and then she has relations with an extramarital affair. That's mizana.
But here she's a penuya.
It's not like we use it like in common parlance or whatever. So, but here it's a panuya bala penuya. So that's the way it is. Okay. Any other questions, comes to us? All right, let's go on. Now, the Gemara says we're around five lines above where it gets wide. So, my midaberet, what does the word midaberet is used in the Mishnah mean? So, Ziri Amar Nistra. Ziri means that she was alone, because we saw her, you know, go into a room with this fellow. And Ravasi Amar Nivolo. Ravasi says, no, it means we saw her having relations with the guy. So, Bishleim Ziri had his time midaberet. So, according to Ziri, I understand why the Mishnah would use the term talk, I can understand you're alone, like talk privately, whatever, but it's close to what we want to say. El Ravasi, my Midaberet. So, but according to Ravasi, who's having relations, why would the Tanakh call that Midaberet to speak? So the Gemara says, Lishna Mali, it's a euphemism. He's active, and then we quote a Pasuk from Mishlei, and it's talking about the Zonot. Now the Zonot, it says, Achla umachta fia v'amalufa al diavin. It says that she eats and wipes her mouth and says, I didn't do wrong. So in the Pasuk, eating, the sex act is referred to as an act of eating. And machtapia is like cleaning her genital area after having relations with somebody. So the idea of eating and the idea of speaking, the Gemara says, not so far off. So it's a euphemism for having relations. That's what the Gemara says. Okay, but the main idea is, in the Beret, we have two pshat. The mother means that she was miyachid with somebody or she had relations with somebody. Okay, now, two lines before it gets wide. The thing is, Ziri, now according to Ziri, it's the first shot, Nistra, she was alone with somebody, time is a tani tarti, midaberet and muberet. So according to Ziri, I understand what the Mishnah is saying. The Mishnah is teaching me two different cases. The first case in the Mishnah is she was alone, miyachid with somebody, and then we have the machloket between Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Lezer, and Rabbi Yeshua. And the second case is teaching me where she actually had relations. So Rashi points out, so four lines above where it gets wide in Rashi. Rashi says, "Medaberet lo diacha kochos Rabbi Yeshua." So the first case, medaberet, where she's miyached, it teaches me the stringency of Rabbi Yeshua. The afikav the rush nivola, even though nobody saw her having relations with anybody, psula, that she's psula. That's the extreme position of Rabbi Yeshua. And then where we see her have relations, but she says, I only have relations with a miuchas person, that shows the extreme position of Rabbi Gamliel, even though she had relations. And Lechora, you could say that her tests kashrus is somewhat impaired. Nevertheless, he believes her. Okay? So with that, we're good with. So back in the Gemara, the first wide line, Ela Rabba Asi Tarti Lama. But according to Rabba Asi, Rabba Asi says, Mindaberet means to have relations. So I have one section of the Mishnah says she has relations with somebody who we don't know. And the second section, she's Buberet, but obviously she had relations with somebody. So what do we need with two sections? So the Gemara says, no problem for Rabba Asi. Now the Gemara eventually is going to slug up Rabba Asi, but the Gemara is going to have a series of questions against Rabba Asi. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you sort of get the sense of this, like the Gemara, like question, and then they sing. Anyway, so the Gemara says, so he says one section is to tell her that she's kosher. In other words, the first section would be saying that she had relations with somebody, and the issue is she still kosher to marry a Kohen or not? The second section would be telling me the status of the offspring. Is the offspring kosher to marry a Kohen? He says, her daughter. He says, so the Gemara says, Hanich Laman Damar, the Debrea Machshirba, Machshirbavita. So according to this one, there's going to be Machlokin in the Gemara, is the one who's Machshir her also Machshir the offspring. So according to one side, that's the way it goes, so fine. Laman Damar, the Debrea Machshirba, Postalbavita, Maik Lamanimar. But according to another opinion, even if she's kosher, the offspring are not kosher. So it can't be the second section would be teaching me that the offspring is kosher. So then why would I need two sections? So the Gemara says, Rabasi Sabar, come on, the Debrei Machshirba, Machshirbavita. So Rabasi holds like that sod, that so that holds that within the Mishnah, the one who's Machshir, her status, is also Machshir, the status of the offspring. And the offspring have no problem. And again, with the offspring, the issue would be she has a Cheskas Kashrus. The offspring have no Cheskas Kashrus. So there's an argument to say within Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Lezer, that her Cheskas Kashrus continues till I could, conclusively, impugn it. But the offspring has no cheskas kashrus. So there, I'm going to be told or not. But Ravasi holds like the side that says that, no, they're both machshir, and that's the way we're going with this. All right, let's just repeat, and let's all focus. Okay. So we had two pshatim in the Mishnah. What does Mendaberet mean? According to the side, Ravasi, it means to have relations with somebody. So I have two sections in the Mishnah. One section talks about she having relations with a man. The other section, she being pregnant by an unknown father. So if they're both having, we have evidence of sexual relations in both of them, what do I need both sections in the Mishnah? I have the Machloket, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Lezer, and I have Rabbi Yeshua. So the Gemara says that one is coming to teach me first status. First status is unimpaired, according to Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Lezer. And the second section is teaching me that the status of the offspring is unimpaired, and the offspring could marry a Kohen. So the Gemara says that works well, according to the opinion that holds that the one who's machshir the mother is machshir the offspring. But according to another opinion, the one who's machshir the mother is not machshir the offspring. So it means, according to Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Lezer, the offspring are not kosher. So what do we need two sections of the Mishnah? So the Gemara says Rav Asi holds like the first son. All right? Okay, everybody good? All right, moving on. Now, let's see back in the Gemara. Okay, so with three lines from the bottom on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, 13a. So Amli Rav Papa L'Abaye. Rav Papa says L'Abaye, Z'iri D'Amar, Maim D'Ber Nistura, V'Amar Rav Yeshua Lo Mehemna. So now we've bought like this. Going back to Z'iri, Z'iri says that the pshat of Midaberet means that she was miyachid with somebody. So assuming that to be the case, she was miyachid with somebody, so they have a machloket tanayim whether she's possible to marry a Kohen or not. And we were sure hold, she's possible to marry a Kohen. So I'm the Rabbah of the Bible, my sister Rabbah, I'm Rishua Lomahemna, she's not believed, so she can't marry a Kohen. So I'm a Rav, but Rav says, now, I saw in the Masifta, they said that elsewhere we know that Rav agrees with Rabbi Yeshua. But this is not going to work out well. Amar Rav says, Malkin al Yichud, that if two people are miyachid with one another, we give them malchut, being osrin al yichud. But with only evidence of yichud, we wouldn't osr anybody. In other words, if we would know that a woman was alone with a man, so and that's all we know, we wouldn't osr to marry a kohen. He says, so lema d'luk Rabbi Yeshua. Should we say that Rav's statement does not work out within the sheets of the Tana of Rabbi Yeshua? Because Rabbi Yeshua says they're alone, she can't marry a kohen. Rav says they're alone, can't marry a kohen. So, but elsewhere we know that Rav agrees with Rabbi Yeshua. So the Gemara says, afilu tema Rabbi Yeshua. I could even say that Rav's statement is in conformity with Rabbi Yeshua, but mala subyuchsin. In other words, it could be that we could explain the Mishnah that Rabbi Yeshua says, ain't an amenet means to marry a kohen. In other words, for stringencies, they established that when to marry a kohen, there we're going to have a stringency that she's not believed and we're going to ask her to marry a kohen. But, you know, we're not going to, let's say, Rashi says in the third white line, Isha Bala, Bishal Yichud Balma. But let's say she's a married woman and she's alone with a man, and that's what we have. We're not going to ask her on the husband. In other words, so for this din of a Kohen, there are stringencies with Kuna. So then Rabbi Shu could hold that. But Rav, we could say, is talking about just in general, in life. The only evidence we have that she was Miyachid, we're not going to ask her on her husband. All right? Okay. Now, going back to Ravasi, so Ravasi said that Midaberet means Nivala, that they had relations. So focusing on that. So Nivala, we have the Machloka. So Mefei, Ruach Nechasa, now this is a Braisa. The Braisa is going to say, let me make this short. The Braisa is going to say the two cases we think are Yichud and Nivala. So if that's the case, when one is pregnant, the second case of the Mishnah, she was pregnant. So obviously she was Nivala. So, but the Braisa is going to say the first case is she was only with Yichud. In other words, the Braisa is going to give two cases, but we assume it's the same as in the Mishnah. So that's going to be a kasha against Ravasi, right? They do not follow Ravasi. Okay, listen, I need everybody's full attention. Okay, so in the Mishnah, Ravasi said we have two cases in the Mishnah. One is Medaberet and one is Meuberet. So Medaberet, we have Machloket. Ravasi says Medaberet means that she had relations. And the second case is she's Meuberet. We're going to have a Braisa. The Braisa is going to give two cases with this Machloket, and one is going to be not Nivala, but that she was just Miyachid with her. And the second case will be Meuberet. So that's going to be the Stira with Ravasi. All right. This is back in the Gemara. So Meifei, we have Tasha from the following Braisa against Ravasi. Bryce says, Ruush Nefesai Mathad Lasater, if we saw her with somebody enter into a private area, and it was the Miyache, O Lechurva, or she entered a Churva. Now, Churva is a ruin, but if you look at the top line of Rashi, Lechurva Stamala Be'ilah Shuma Kamuznet. There, the presumption is a person is having relations with her if you go to Lechurva. So the situation is Yichud and Bia. But Amrullah Mativo Shalise. They say to her, the woman, who is this fellow you were either with or having relations with? And he says, Kohen Ben Achi Abahu. Here she is a Kohen, neither. She's in the family. She's my cousin. Rabbi Galil and Rabbi Lezer Omen Nemenet. Rabbi Galil and Rabbi Lezer say that we believe her. Rabbi Shua Meir Lomi Pianu Chayim. We don't believe her. El Arezu Bechazet Be'ula Lenatin Lamabzer. Presumption is she had relations with Psule Kahal, and she can't marry Kohen anymore. So she brings evidence to her position. So Bishlam and the Zairi, so according to Zairi, who said Midaberet or Mishnah means be Miyached, Hanutani Tarti, the Seter or the Churva. So then the Braisa just reflects mirrors the Machloket in our Mishnah. It's the same thing, just slightly different. In other words, Zairi says our Mishnah speaks about Midaberet, that she's alone, and our Mishnah speaks of Uberet, that she had relations, and the Braisa speaks of where she's Miyached, or she has relations. So then everything works out well according to Zairi. El Ravasi da Amar Nivala, but according to Ravasi, that says that our Mishnah speaks of Nivala. Now, we didn't explain why in the Mishnah we need two cases of Nivala, but I told you it's coming up, it's going to be the status of the offspring. But according to Ravasi, it says Nivala, Tarti Lamali, why do I need two cases in the Bryce? The Bryce doesn't speak about offspring. The Bryce just says that, you know, she's got two cases. So Nivala, assuming that Ravasi would explain in the Bryce as well that when it says Beseter, it means that it was Nivola, because that's the way he's going to have to explain it. Why would I need two cases of Nivola? So the Gemara says, Padakatani. So the Gemara says, Rabasi will say the Bryce is speaking about one case, Leseter the Churva, that she went into, like, you know, secrecy or whatever in the Churva, one case. But the Gemara says, well, Leseter Ola Churva Katani. But the Bryce doesn't say, you know, one case. It says, oh, it's really two cases. So Chara, so the Gemara has a fallback position. Chara the Churva Demata, but Chara the Churva de Dabra. No, Rav Asi will say the Mishnah is speaking, when the Mishnah said, in other words, he's saying that the Braisa is speaking about one case where she had relations with him in a churva in the city, a ruin in the city, the other case where she had relations with her paramour in a ruin in the field. Now, the Gemara says, Utsrichi, it was necessary for the Braisa to teach both. But the way is, we're getting out of this question against Rav Asi. In other words, we couldn't understand why would the Braisa be teaching me two cases of Nivola. So the Gemara says it's talking about having relations in the city and having relations in the field, and we'll explain the difference. It's Riffi. Yishmin Churva Demata, if the Bryce would only teach me the, you have to leave? Oh, bye-bye. He says, Yishmin Churva Demata, if the Bryce would only teach me the ruin in the city, the Hat Kamashi Rabbi Gamaliel, Mishim Derov Sheira Metzlah. The presumption is that if you're having relations in a Churva in the city, you're having relations with somebody from the city, and that most of the people in the city are Jews who are Ksherim. And was Ksherim meaning genealogical Ksherim. So he says, so there I would say Rabbi Gamliel and presumably Rabbi Lezer are Machshir, the Rav Ksherim Esla, because most of the people are Kashir. Aval Churba de Dabra, the Rav Psulim Esla, in Modele, the Rabbi Yeshua. But in the Churba de Dabra, when you're having relations out in the field, so the person could come anywhere from the Belt of the Rhine. So there's like more non-Jews in the world than Jews, and be psulim. So I would think there, even Rabbi Gamliel agrees with Rabbi Yeshua that she's pasul. But Tamashma not that way. And if he only taught me with the case with the churva and the dabra in the field, but he come or Rabbi Yeshua. I would say there, Rabbi Yeshua says that we don't believe her and that she's pasul. About Baha, even what is Rabbi Gamliel? But in the city, I think he agrees with Rabbi Gamliel, Sricha. So anyway, we have the Srikusa. Okay, let's just summarize what we did, and then we'll take questions, comments, and thoughts. So again, focusing on Rav Asi. Rav Asi in our Mishnah said Middaberet means to have relations. So we had two cases in the Mishnah. One, she's having relations with the fellow, and who we don't know. And the other, where she's carrying a child. We don't know who the father is. Obviously, not part of marriage. It was an unmarried woman. So Rav Asi, that's the way Rav Asi understands the Mishnah. But in the Braisa, we had two cases as well, and we couldn't understand why the Braisa teaches me two cases. Again, in the Mishnah, the two cases are going to relate to the offspring, but in the Braisa, doesn't mention anything about offspring. The Mishnah did mention something about the offspring. So why would it be two cases? So the Gemara says no. So it must be, we thought two cases. It must be one is talking about Yichud and one is talking about relations, and then Rav Asi's goose is cooked. So the Gemara says, no, Rav Asi will say that the Braisa is talking about two cases, but having relations, but one in a ruin in the city, one in a ruin in the field. The ruin in the city, the implication is going to have, with relations with somebody from the city. And most of the people in the city are, you know, Yisrael Kherim. And then the one out in the field, then it could be anybody from the Belt of Rhine. But the bottom line is that at the end of the day, Rabbi Gamliel says we believe her wherever it is, and Rabbi Shuda says we don't believe wherever it is. Okay, who's questions, comments, thoughts? And anyway, the main idea is that we were able to deflect the question against Rav Asi. Okay, any questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far? No. So the question is, if she has relations with, let's say, somebody who's Sulik Tal, she cannot marry a Kohen anymore. That's what the implication is. Let's say she has relations with a mom there. She cannot marry a Kohen. She has relations with a non-Jew. She can't marry a Kohen. Where this is like, you know, it's an issue today, like unfortunately with, you know, colleges. So women are kind of, or I don't, but in society in general today, people are much looser and then they have relations and they think it's a one-night fling, but it has halakhic implications, you know, going forward, depending on who she has relations with. What's up?
No, I'm saying being alone with the person, the Gemara, I think, if I recall, is talking about a very short period of time. The time going around the palm tree or something like that is considered being alone.
Again, first, we're talking about Rav Asi. Rav Asi says the Adam saw them have relations. We're not talking about Yichud. But within the Peshat of Ze'iri, Yichud is the amount of time Kedebiya. So what that Kedebiya would be, so you may have seen a Peshat in the Gemara, but going to palm tree, but the amount of time, I think they usually, like at a wedding, I think we usually wait like 9 minutes, something like that, you know, is
I mean, so even being alone is enough time to have to have relations, apparently.
Well, that's what we're talking about. What is the halachic implication of being alone with the person? Okay, yeah. I'm going to move on now. Okay, everybody mute themselves. Okay, now we're again focusing on Rabasi. Rabasi says medaber means to have relations. So back in the Gemara, we're around line 20 in the Gemara. Meifei, we ask a question from this Brisa. So this Brisa is also talking about the same achloke that we had in our Mishnah. So the Gemara is picking up in the middle of the Brisa. In other words, like, again, so they have a machloke if the woman is secluded with a man. Meifei, zu eidot sha'ishak sheirala. So this is doing like Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Lezer, that we believe the woman that she, you know, didn't have, you know, what was only alone with somebody who's kosher to her. Rabbi Yeshua Meir in a minute, she's not believed. So Amar Lahem Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi Yeshua says the Chachamim to the Chachamim. I say the Chachamim mean Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Lezer. So Amar Lahem Rabbi Yeshua. Yetem Modim B'Shuya Shnishbeit V'Yeshla Edim Shnishbeit V'Yomer Tahorani Shein in a minute. Wouldn't you concede if you have a Jewish woman who was taken captive and were Edom that she was taken captive and she says, I was not defiled, that she is not believed? In other words, you, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Lezer, you believe the woman with her taina. But don't you concede if a woman is taken captive by the non-Jews and despite the fact that she says, I was not, you know, defiled, that we would not believe her? So Amru lo aval, they said 100% correct. Here the word aval means yes. He says Rashi. If you look at the Rashi, the fifth narrow line, Amru lo aval, hey, yes, kamo aval sarai yishtofa. The targum b'kushta, like it says aval sarai shchayu little chaben. Says in other words, truly. So he says they agree with that. So he says so. Rabbi Yeshua is back in the Gemara. Rabbi Yeshua says back to Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Lezer, uma hefresh yesh ben zu lezu. What's the difference in this case? Now, Zulu is going to be, again, the Bryce assumes that we're talking about two cases, and the two cases the Bryce assumes we're talking about is one is Yichud, and one is where they're pregnant. So what's the difference between the woman who's taken captive and the woman who's secluded? In one case, you believe, you don't believe, or in one case, you do. So they say, Luzu yesh edem, Luzu ein la edem, because in one case, there are Edom that she was taken captive, which is as good as that she was defiled. In one case, there are no Edom. So Amar Lahem, Af Luzu Yesh Edom. He says, no, but in your case as well, there are Edom. And now he's talking about the pregnancy case. Shrei Kresa Bein Shina, her belly is between her teeth. It means there's Edos. And we don't understand the next two lines in the Brisa, and we must be patient. So Amru Lo, so they said back to Rabbi Yeshua, they said most non-Jews are precipitate. They're like, you know, they don't behave up, you know, according to social norms or our social norms. Amar Lahen, so he, Rabbi Shu, said, ain't apotropos la riot. There's no apotropos, there's no guarantee for a riot. And we'll explain those lines, okay? Then the Brisa says, but we're moving by Eidat Isha Begufa. So we're only talking about the status of the woman. About Eidat Isha Bevita, they're very called the Vlad Shtuki. As far as the offspring is concerned, everybody agrees the Vlad is a Shtuki, and we'll explain that as well. But if you remember from the Sech Kedushin from the last Masor, Shtuki is where the child calls out daddy, and we say, like, be quiet, because we don't know who the father is. Okay, now the Gemara says, we don't understand the Braisa. So Maika Amar Lahu, Maika Mahadri Leh. What did they say? What did Rabbi Yeshua say to Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Lezer? And what did they respond to him? Hachi ka'amri lei. This is what Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua were saying to Rabbi Yeshua. Hashibatanu ala muberet. In other words, concerning the case of the woman who's muberet, in other words, you had a case of a woman who's captive, and you have a case of a woman who's muberet, who's pregnant. So the captive, we agree with you that we don't believe her, and we say she's defiled. So that we don't have an answer for that. The Mubarak case does seem pretty much equivalent to that. And it's like the equivalent of Edus that she had relations with somebody. and her chazaka is impaired. We don't have an answer for that. But But what are you going to say to us about the Medaberet case and the implication being Medaberet is not having relations, it's just where she was alone with somebody. What are you going to say about that case? Amar Lahem, so he, Rabbi Yeshua, says to Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Lazar, Medaberet Hanu Shvuya, that's the same as the woman who was taken captive. Amru Lo, Shani Shvuya. He says, no, Shvuya is different. The Rov of the Kavim Prutz and Barayot Heim. They said a Shvuya is a different case because she's taken captive by non-Jews. Most non-Jews, you know, don't care about rules and things like that. And so she was defiled. Amar Lahem, Hanami, so he said, he, Rabbi Yeshua, back to them, in this case as well, came into Istater, since the woman was observed going alone in a room with somebody, in apotropos la'arayot. There's no apotropos, there's no guardian to what anybody does in the privacy of a room, so you can't guarantee anything. But aside from the specific arguments, one versus the other, tani miyatarti medaberet umuberet. In the Braisa, it's clear there are two cases that they disagree about. One is midaberet, meaning one is where she's yichud, that she's alone with somebody, and one is muberet. So tiyufta to Rabasi, tiyufta. So Rabasi is all up gestalt. Again, Rabasi said the first case was she's having relations, but it's clear from the give and take that the first case is one of yichud. So Rabasi is history. Okay, Rabasi's history with that. Okay, I have 2 minutes for questions, and I got to move on. All right, moving on. Now, the Gemara asks, within Rabbi Yeshua, now, Rabbi Yeshua says that the cases are the same. In other words, the Shvuya case is the same as the one, the woman who had, you know, alone in the room. But typically, the Gemara says, how can Rabbi Yeshua make an argument like that? But typically, datam ro psula metzla. Why don't you say that there, most of the people, when she's captive, are psulim, you know, they're non-Jews. Here she's living in a town, and most of the people are ksherim. So Messiah Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. So that supports Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. The Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, the Divrei Machshir, Machshir Apil Baro Psulim. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, the one who's Machshir, which is Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Lazar, they're Machshir even if most of the people would be psulim. The Divrei Aposel, Posel Apil Baro Ksherim. In other words, the one who's Posel, which is Rabbi Yeshua, so he's Posel her, even if most of the people would be Ksherim, he's Posel her. All right, now, the new paragraph.
Is that because it's burden of proof and not the reality of the facts?
No. Again, remember what we spoke about. We said there's a cheskes kashrus for the woman. So that's what Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Lezer are machshiv, the cheskes kashrus, until we have, you know, concrete evidence not that way. And Rabbi Yeshua holds that the cheskes kashrus has been irreparably impaired by her being alone with somebody. All right, then that's what it's, but it's saying that the issue of whether it's Rok Shem or not is a red herring. All right, now, Am Rabbi Yochanan, the Divrei Machshir Ba Machshir Bebita. Yochanan says the one who's Machshir the mother, he's Machshir also the daughter and her offspring. The Divrei Apostle Ba, the one who says the mother is now can't marry a Kohen, Apostle Bebita, who also apostles the daughter. So if Rabbi Lazar made the Divrei Machshir Ba Posel Bebita, Rabbi Lazar says even when it's Machshir with the mother, passes the daughter. Remember, I told you that there's a cheskes kashrus by the mother, but there's no cheskes kashrus by the offspring. So it's a different cheshbon. So Amar Rabbi, my Talmud Rabbi Lazar. So Rabbi says, what's the reason for Rabbi Lazar? Rabbi Lazar says the mother's okay, but the daughter not. Right. The mother has a cheskes kashrus. So until that is ripped away, she's going to continue with the cheskes kashrus. The daughter doesn't have a cheskes kashrus, so we have to assume that the mother was, and the father was some isuri kahal that would make her prohibited on a kohen. And it sounds like even maybe even shulik kahal. So Efe Reb Lazar Reb Yochanan. So Reb Lazar posed a question. Reb Yochanan. Reb Lazar says the daughter is history. Yochanan says the daughter is good. But so this is a quote from the Bryce that we did above. The Braisa says, "But we're worrying about Edith Isha Begufa, that we're only talking about Edith that relates to the woman, what she did. Well, Edith Isha Bevita, but as far as the daughter's concerned, Divrei Kula Vlad Shtuki. Everybody agrees the offspring is the Shtuki, meaning if the daughter would say, oh, that's my father, we'd say shuk. So the Gemara says, my love shtuki pasol. Is it not saying the shtuki and the offspring is pasol, and that would be a kasha against Rabbi Yochanan. Lo, shtuki but kasher. No, it's a shtuki, but it's kasher. How so? Umika shtuki kasher. Is there such a thing as a shtuki who's kasher? In, to the Shmuel. The Amar Shmuel, Asra Konim Omdim. Let's say you have 10 Konim in a room, all wonderful yichus, and one of them went off and had relations with a woman, but we don't know. Let's say 11 people are in a boat, and one of the Konim had relations with her, we don't know who. Havlad Shtuki. So the Vlad is a Shtuki. So my Shtuki, if it means that we would silence the offspring's claim to Yerusha from the father, Pshita, we don't know who the father is, so obviously you can't assert it. Means the offspring would not be entitled to assert, in other words, let's say it's a boy. We know 100% sure he's a Kohen, but we don't know who his father is, even though all the choices are a Kohen. Nevertheless, he can't serve as a Kohen. Why? This is this week's Parsha of Shavua. It's interesting, Daf Yomi always gets a little bit with the Parsha of Shavua. By Pinchas, it'll be for him and his progeny, a Brit Kuhunat Olam, perpetual Kuhuna, but you have to be Miuchas. Mishas Zero Miuchas Afarav. In other words, that the offspring has to be able to trace his genealogy. That's a session Zero Miuchas Afarav. He can't trace his genealogy. He doesn't know who the father is. So it's not enough that he's got, you know, whatever, the Kohen DNA, or we know that his father's a Kohen, he has to be Miuchas. So too, this is the way Rabbi Yochanan will explain the Braisa. When the Braisa says that the Vlad is a Shtuki, it means Shtuki in terms of asserting their Yichos, but not that they're, you know, Psulei Kal. All right, let me just wrap up the daf, and then we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts. Okay, on the bottom line, on Yud Gimel Beis, Ahu Arusa Arusa To, the Art of the Kamid Rabbi Yosef. So an Arusa and Arusa means they went through Erusin, but not through Nisuin, but she's pregnant. So she walks in, you know, it's like the woman's like 6 months pregnant with the Arus, and he says, they're coming to the rabbi. She says, don't worry, he's the father. And the man says, the Arus, I am, it's for me. So I'm Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef says, the top line of Yudav and Amral, do we have anything to worry about in this situation? He, the man, agrees that it's his offspring. In addition to which, Shmuel says, that we would believe the woman that she wasn't defiled by anybody who's psulei kahal, and by extension, she says he's the father. So we seem like we're in good shape from both ends. So Amarli Abaye, so Abaye we know was the Talmud of Rabbi Yosef. So Abaye says Rabbi Yosef. Now Abaye disagrees with the second part of Rabbi Yosef's argument. So the hot kamoda that Abaye is with, but her statement, the statement that Shmuel says Allah is Rabbi Gamliel, Amarli Abaye uvaha hilo moda machshir Rabbi Gamliel. What are you saying that if the husband didn't agree it was his, Rabbi Gamliel would agree that she could identify this boy as being, you know, the son, and she's fine. But Amar Shmuel Rabbi Yehuda, but Shmuel said to Rabbi Yehuda, Shinna, a sharp one, Halacha Rabbi Gamliel, Halacha follows Rabbi Gamliel, but Atlo Tavid Uvda Ad Ikarov Kherin Etzla. He says you shouldn't pask in this way. In other words, the halacha is like Rabbi Gamliel. So if she says I was Nivala, but it was to Kasher, the halacha is like Rabbi Gamliel, but I shouldn't permit her to marry Kohen. Unless most of the people who potentially had exposure to her were Kshemim. Now, in this case, she's an Arusa. Everyone in the world is Psulat her, to anyone in the world except for him. So that part Abai does not agree with. So again, 1 second, we'll be within a minute, Rav Moshe. So again, Rav Yosef says that nothing to worry about because we pass on the halacha is like Rabbi Gamliel. Lil says the woman is Nam at it. But Rabbi Gamliel says that, according to the way Abai is understanding it, when, in other words, even though the halakha is like Rabbi Gamliel, you shouldn't pask in that way. In other words, to permit her, in other words, halakha is like Rabbi Gamliel, the Shemar Kohen. But you shouldn't permit it to marry a Kohen until they're mostly Kshayrim. That's what Shmuel said to Rav Yehuda. And here, most are Psulin. So Rav Yosef says back, so according to you, though, how do you understand the line by itself? What does this mean? The halach is like Rabbi Gamliel, but you shouldn't follow Rabbi Gamliel unless most exchange him. What are you forced to say? In other words, what Shmuel was saying to Rabbi Yehuda is in Achinami the halach for Gamliel, but lechachila I shouldn't permit this woman to marry a Kohen unless most of the people she was exposed to were Kshayrim. But Lu Yetzur, she went ahead and got married anyway without our permission, so then I'm going to let sleeping logs lie because the law is like Rabbi Gamliel. Bahanami k'dievet dami. So in this case, where the woman is already pregnant, that's like a type of dievet. She has went through Erusin with this man. So the alternative would be to say that she's prohibited on the husband, and that the child is a Safek Mamzer. That's a real Dievet case. So when I said the halacha is like Rabbi Gamliel, so Rabbi Gamliel holds, we believe her. And in Achinami Shmuel said, only when Rov are Kshayrim, right, in this case, Rov are not Kshayrim. But this case is like the legal equivalent of a Dievet. Okay, we have a few minutes. Aaron Moshe, you've been patient. Did you want to say something?
It's okay. I just had the door was racial. My daughter came.
Oh, okay. All right. Anybody want to say something? Okay. All right. I'm ending up the job tonight. Let's say recording.
Yeah, Rachel, come here.
End it.